Good morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Dwayne. Welcome back to Encounter Life Church. I'm so glad that you joined us on this Sunday, the first Sunday in September. Man, the time is flying by. God is still in control in our world, no matter what we see is going on. I pray that this morning that your heart was blessed and your heart is prepared because of our time of worship and that you're encouraged. If this is your first time joining us here at Encounter Life online, we're just happy that you logged in and wherever you're watching it, whether your tablet, in your living room, in your car, wherever you are, we're just glad that you're here and that you chose to worship with us today. If you are new, could you do me a favor, pull out your smartphone and just text the word new to 301-804-2520. That's 301-804-2520. And let us know, I'm new, worshiping with you. We want to connect with you, contact with you, just thankful. And that you worship with us, and also maybe send you some encouragement as the weeks go past. And if you've been following with us before, again, welcome back. We trust that God is going to speak to you in a mighty, mighty way this morning. Last month, we had a great time. We went through a series called The Games, and we're talking about all the different sports metaphors that are there in the Bible. And last week, one of my favorite sports was boxing. We talked about boxing and took some principles that we can learn how we can fight a good fight as we are in this life. Because we know we're in a spiritual warfare. You and I right now, we're fighting a fight. If you're watching me, I don't know what it is. It might be a fight in your marriage, fight with your children, fight on your job, whatever it is. You know, we're in a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, and it's important that you understand your opponent and that you understand who you're really fighting and that God has given you everything and equipped us with everything we need to win this battle. So I pray that you were encouraged last month as we went through that series, The Games. Time is passing by, and again, we're still in this global pandemic where many of us are still in our homes. Most churches in the area are still closed, meaning the buildings are closed, but the work of the church is open. And that being said, it really just brings to mind to me and that God is doing something amazing right now during the season. You know, it's very easy to get distracted and even get depressed. The more and more we watch the news or we look through our timelines, our social media feed, you can see, man, you can just kind of get down. But what I really firmly believe is that God is moving in a mighty way because he's trying to mobilize his people globally all over the world. If you're watching me right now, no matter where you are, I believe that the doors, the buildings of the church, of churches everywhere, all over this country, all over the world probably, in fact, have been closed because God is saying, I want the real church now to be open. I want his people to be active in the world and get busy doing what I really call them to do. And what does he call us to? What does God call us to? He's called us to two major things. The Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Go loving God and loving people. We're supposed to be going out and making disciples and loving God, showing and loving God with everything that's in us and showing the world his love. And in fact, that's what our desire here. That's what our envision is here at Encounter Life, that everyone who comes in contact with this ministry encounter God's presence, discover their purpose, and experience his power in their life. And our mission is to exalt him, exalt his name, exalt his presence, and then enlarge his kingdom. Equip his people and express his love as we engage the culture. That's what we're here to do. And as I thought about that, you know, oftentimes the church has been guilty of not truly engaging the culture. Kind of gotten out of touch with what's going on in our world today. You can see it right now. There's oftentimes hostility towards church and church people. And you know what? I believe that there's more hostility to church and church people than there is to Christ. And because of that reason, God put on my heart over the next 4 weeks, the next month or so, we're gonna embark on a series, and I call it this: I love Jesus, but I hate ... What is it? There are a lot of people who I love Jesus, but man, I can't stand church. I love Jesus, but I can't stand church or church people. And that's unfortunate because as the church, we are supposed to be what we call Christians, Christ-like. We're supposed to look like Christ. So why is it that more people have less of a problem with Christ than they have with Christians? So what we're going to do over this next month, we're going to look in the books of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, because The Apostle Paul, he wrote this letter called Timothy to a pastor of a church. He was a pastor, this gentleman named Timothy. He was a pastor of a church in a city called Ephesus. And Paul was giving Timothy some instruction as a pastor and a leader about what church should be really be about as a leader in the church and what we're about. And because I know today, just from talking to people, there are a lot of people who got issues with the church. And we're going to talk about some of those issues that people have and address them and see what God has to say about them. Is that all right? Listen, before we do that, can we pray together? Dear God, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We thank you for, God, just being patient with us. We thank you for providing for every last one of our needs. We thank you, Lord. We praise you because you are in complete control. And God, I say a special prayer for somebody who's watching me today, who's going through a hard time. Lord God, whose life is giving them, Lord God, a lot of stress on them right now because of all that's going on in our world and even in their personal life. Lord God, visit them right now. Let them know you're in control. Let them know how much you love them. God, that you love them and have a plan for their life. Thank you, God, that you made us to love us. You made us to be in relationship with you. Lord God, this gospel, this good news is the greatest story ever told. And I pray that as the church, that Lord, we won't get in the way, Lord, don't cloud the message. Pray that you'll empower us today, that you'll encourage somebody's heart, and that all of us, those of us who are in the body of Christ, those of us who have your name your name, God, that we will be a good representation of who you are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I call it, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. And if you're watching, you might be one of those people. I was talking to a friend of mine not too long ago, and he's a Christian. He's a Christ follower. He grew up in the church, went to a Christian school. But because of some experiences he had with people who say they're Christians, when he was younger, he turned away from the church. And it's just now recently, since the doors of the churches have been closed, just now recently getting back into church because he was hurt so deeply by church people. And that's sad. Because what God is calling us to do, he said he's now given us the message of reconciliation. You know, we serve a God who loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants a relationship. Every last one of us, he made us to love us. And it's the greatest story ever told. But people are rejecting that story because the people who are charged with carrying that story, sometimes we got other agendas. And today we want to look in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and just see what we are supposed to be about. You know, and as I was preparing this, I was looking at some research. George Barna did a research study, and one of it back in 2017, and it was based on I love Jesus, but I hate the church. And this is some things that we found, that 1/10 of the population are people that say, yep, I believe in Jesus Christ, I love Christ, but I'm not interested in church. I'm not interested in people in church. But 1/10 of the population. And then and some more research done by Lifeway in 2017, they asked young people, they asked millennials, why? What are your top five reasons for not going to church? You know what some of the reasons were? One of the reasons were that church members seem judgmental or hypocritical. Yep, I think I've heard that before. Matter of fact, not only have I heard that before, can I say this, be honest, as a pastor, I think I've been guilty of that before. Yeah. Church members are judgmental and hypocritical. And so some of these young people said, man, I'm not interested. Some people said, look, I don't feel a connection with people in the church. There's no sense of community. Nobody identifies with me. Some other reasons that I heard that I don't see where church has any impact. It doesn't impact my life any. And I don't see the necessity. There's no real need for my life, or I don't see the impact it's making in the society. Some other reasons are young people said, look, I disagree with the church's stance on social issues, some social issues. These are just a number of things that people say, look, I'm not against Christ, but this church thing is just kind of throwing me off. So what we're going to look down at right now is 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to look at the first 7 verses of 1 Timothy as Paul is writing to Timothy, this pastor, and just giving him some instructions about what we are supposed to be about as the church. Can we look there? 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to start verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer. or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm. What Paul is doing right here, he's talking to Timothy, and I don't know, Timothy may have been discouraged. You know, as a pastor, as a leader in the church, sometimes you get discouraged. You're leading people, and just things don't seem like they're going the way they should. And I don't know, Timothy may have been saying, man, I don't want to be leading this church anymore. I want to go a different direction. But Paul said, no, I need you to stay there, and I need you to do a couple of things for me. What he said, I want you to stay there, and I want you to command certain people not to teach false doctrine. Verse 3, verse 4, or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. You know, when I listen to people talk, a lot of times, like I said, one of the reasons why people don't like church is because they feel that sometimes church people are judgmental and hypocritical. And you know why that happens? When we lose focus on the main thing. See, oftentimes we kind of major on the minors. And what was happening here in this church, people were teaching false doctrines. And we got to make sure that we're teaching the truth of God, staying true to God's word. Staying true to God's word. When we stay true to what God has called us to, man, that message is a compelling message. And less people will reject that than when we get off on our little tangents and put in our own things in there. You know why we get false doctrines? Because people have our own agendas. But you know what happens? You know how you avoid that? When we're rooted in what he says here in verse 5. The whole goal of this whole thing is what? The goal of this command is love. The church, what God has called us to do is love him first and love people. Love God and love people. And the Bible tells us that love covers a multitude of faults. Love covers a multitude of sins. See, oftentimes in church, we can seem judgmental and hypocritical. You know why? Because we are, it's very easy for me to hold up a list of standards and try to hold you to a standard. But you know what? It's more important. What God wants us to do is focus on love. See, what God called us to do, I heard a mentor of mine, a pastor, Pastor David Anderson from Bridgeway Church in Columbia. I love this man of God. He gave us a wonderful, wonderful phrase. He said, you know what God wants us to do as a church? Love people like Jesus, lead them to Jesus, and then leave them with Jesus. Because it's not my job to change people. It's not my job to judge you. It's not my job to do all that. Because you know why? There but by the grace of God go I. I've got feet of clay. You got feet of clay. So what God says, what Paul says right here, don't get involved in false doctrines. Don't get caught off on tangents on stuff that doesn't matter. Don't start majoring on minors. Don't get all kind of crazy teachings jumbled up in that truth. All I want you to do is stick to the truth. And what is the truth? Is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And it's all rooted where? Verse 5. The goal of this command is love. Where does that love come from? There's three things that I think that I want us to focus on right here in this passage. Verse 5. Verse 5 is our main verse. As the church, what if we focus on these three things, guess what? Man, it's compelling. And a lot of the complaints that people have about church people will go away. Why? Because we'll be about what Christ is about. Let's look at, he says, the goal of this command is love. Where does this love come from? This love comes from, number one, a pure heart. A pure heart. That word pure heart right there, actually, the word pure right there means unmixed. You know what a pure heart means? It means total commitment. What he says, this goal of commandment is love. God is calling us to love people like Christ loved them. And where does that love come from? It comes out of a pure heart, an unmixed heart. What do I mean? I got this bottle, this thing of water right here. And when you see it, it looks pure. Pure, nice, clear water. A pure heart is an unmixed heart. But too often in the church, we don't have unmixed hearts. We have other things. You know, see, you know what this is in here? One of my favorite things. I love me some chocolate. I'm a chocolate guy. And so, you know what I did here? I just put a little chocolate in this water because I like to add a little something special to my water here. But I love chocolate. But what the chocolate does, when I put the chocolate, it tastes good, has a good taste in it. I enjoy chocolate. I didn't put a whole lot of it. All I did is, and I just put a little bit. But see, what happens when I mix my good chocolate, my good sweet tasting chocolate in my water, what happens to my pure bottle of water, drink, container of water? It gets clouded, right? What God is calling us to have, he said, love comes out of a heart that is unmixed. And when you're saying you have an unmixed heart, what do I mean? That means it's a heart that's totally committed to God, that does not have any other affections. And what God is calling us too often in the church, the reason why we come across hypocritical and judgmental is because, in fact, we have other agendas. We have other affections that we've mixed other than with Christ. What God has said, love comes out of a what? A heart that is pure. A heart that is unmixed. That is untainted by other affections. Untainted by other agendas. My question today is, do you have a pure heart? Do you have another agenda? Do you have other things that you love that you're running after as well other than Christ? When all I'm running after is his heart, guess what? It won't look like this. God is calling us, love comes, and we love God. God is calling us to love him and love people. True love comes first out of a pure heart. And what is that? A heart that is perfect toward God, is unmixed, untainted by any other affections. What are some of the other affections, some of the other things that you kind of like to try to mix into that heart? Notice I didn't say a clean heart. See, you can have a clean heart and not have a pure heart. You can have a clean heart because why? Jesus has come and made my heart clean. He's cleansed me of sin, but a pure heart means sometimes I got, even with my heart being clean, sometimes I can have other motives and other agendas that can get in the way. My question today is, do you have a pure heart? Do you have a heart that is unmixed? What are some other things that can get in there? Pride. Yep. Pride can cause us to have an impure heart. Sometimes, and it's so easy in church, we can find ourselves, we can find our identity in what we do. You know, I'm a good Christian. I read my Bible every day. I pray every day. I give my tithes and I do all these other things. I serve in my church. I serve in this ministry. I do all of these outward visible things that can sometimes give me a sense of pride. And you know what? That comes out of a heart that's not pure. See, my motivation to do those things should not be made right with God is because he has made me right. Love comes out of a pure heart. But love also comes out of a what? Clear conscience. See, a pure heart, that's total devotion, total commitment. But a clear conscience, you know what that is? Transparency. See, when you have a heart that's mixed, it leads to translucency, not transparency. See, this was clear. It was pure. I could see right through it. I could see right through this before. But now when it's mixed with something, and though what I mixed it with, this is the key. What you mix it with is not always bad. What you mix it with may not be sin in of itself. But whenever I put it in front of God or I try to put it alongside with my commitment to God, it becomes a problem. See, there's nothing wrong. This chocolate, this little bit, I love it. It tastes good. Certain things may not be bad. Some of it has got some good, no sugar added in it. It is no sugar added. But the problem is I added it to him. And nothing else should take his place. So sometimes as I can add good things to the pure heart that still get in the way. And what happens is I don't have a clear conscience. See, the clear conscience is transparency. What do I mean by transparency? When you have a pure heart leads to a clear conscience, which means I'm an open book. The Bible says everything is open and laid bare before him. Too often in the church, we're not transparent. In the body of Christ, in the church, we ought to be saying, look, I'm coming with all my faults. I got issues. This is my issue. And I ought to be able to bring it right just as I am. You got to be transparent because God sees it. Too often we come to church and we wear the mask. We wear the mask. We try to give the illusion like we have everything together and we really don't. But what somebody else actually needs to see, somebody needs to see your brokenness. Somebody needs to see that, you know what? I'm not perfect. I'm striving for perfection, but I'm not perfect. We, as the body of Christ, God is calling us to a clear conscience. What does that mean? Transparency. God, I'm blameless before you. I'm not perfect, but I'm blameless. I got nothing hidden, nothing between my soul and my Savior. I'm laying it all in front of you. Do you have a clear conscience today? Is there some areas of your life that you kind of keeping hidden? You're keeping hidden from people in the body of Christ. See, the thing about it is you're trying to keep it hidden. God sees it. We can't hide anything from him. He says everything is open and laid bare before him. So there's nothing that we can hide from God. But when I try to hide it from other people, you know what? That is an indication of a heart that's not pure. That's a heart that's not pure. And when you do that, you know what? We come across hypocritical. Because the fact of the matter is, you know what? All of us are going to fall. That's why Christ came. See, that's why he came. He came because of our sins. He loved us, and because of what he's done in the cross. Yes, he wants us to walk a blameless and holy life. But every now and then, because I'm still in my flesh, I may drop the ball. You know what? I'm going to talk to my wife sometimes the way I shouldn't. Now, am I making excuses for it? No. But what I'm able to do, thank God for 1 John 1:9. He says, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And when I've done that, you know what? I need to have a man in my life to say, brother, I blew it. I spoke inappropriately to my wife. I need to have somebody in my life that's checking me and asking me the hard questions. Are you walking in purity? Are you trying to stay upright? When you fall, you got to have somebody that you say, look, I'm not doing this in the corner. That's a clear conscience. A clear conscience doesn't mean you haven't done anything. It just means there's nothing that I have done that somebody doesn't know about. Love comes out of, you know what? A pure heart. When I got a heart that's unmixed, a pure heart that a heart that is totally committed to God, with a heart that is totally committed to God, that's unmixed, is going to lead to a clear conscience. It's going to lead to say a life that is transparent, that even when I fall, I'm making sure that I get that thing right before God. And see, then, you know what that leads to is the next thing. It leads to a sincere faith, a sincere faith right there in verse 5. A good conscience and a sincere faith. Why does it lead to a sincere faith? Because when you recognize that you have a heart that is totally committed to God and you're walking transparent before him and know that even when I'm walking transparent before him, he still loves me. See, a transparent life means that you see everything that I got going on. And that even though, God, you see everything I got going on, you haven't stopped loving me, that you love me and you care for me and you're still calling my name. You know what that leads to? That leads to a sincere faith. That leads to someone that want to put their faith and trust in a God that loves me, not because of what I've done, not because of how I performed, but because he made me to be in relationship with him. And see, that sincere faith, a God like that who loves me like that, leads to a sincere faith. I will put my faith and trust. And what that does, that leads me to want to live in a way to bring honor and glory to him. Look at verse 6. It says, some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, and they do not want, and they don't know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm. Listen, a lot of people want to talk, and they want to talk about the law. They want to talk about legalism. But God said, look, all I want you to be focused on, the main thing is love. It's love. And where does love come? A pure heart. A heart that is totally committed to God, that is unmixed and untainted by other things. Where does love come from? It's a heart, the heart that is totally committed to God now is transparent. It's got a clear conscience to know that I can walk before God with my conscience clear, that know that there's nothing that I have hidden before him, that everything is open and laid bare before him. And because he's loved me in spite of that, you know what it's led to? A sincere faith. And when you do that, when we live like that, when the church displays that, do you know what that does? That lifts him up and it draws men to him. Because if people will be able to see that, listen, no matter what you've done, God still has a plan and he loves you. And there's nothing in this life that can separate you from his love. My question today is the body of Christ is, listen, have you demonstrated that kind of love? Can I be honest that, you know, there have been times that I've been guilty of being hypocritical and judgmental. You know, we have little things that we kind of use as a barometer of how spiritual we are. You know, how much time I spend in God's word and how spiritual I am. And I can use those as my measuring stick and look at other people and say, man, they need to get their life together. But God said, look, hold on now. Yeah, you got that together. But you know what? There's some other area of your life that you need to tighten up. And all you need to focus on right now, make sure that you have a heart that's totally committed toward me. And that's what shows how much you love me, a heart that's totally committed to more me. When you have a heart that's like that, then you know what you're going to do? You're going to be transparent. You're going to walk in faith. And it's going to lead you to what? Love other people. When we do that, guess what? People can fall in love with a Jesus like that. But also, you know what? The reason why they'll fall in love with a Christ like that is because the people who bear his name demonstrate his character. You see, if we say we are Christians, little Christs, shouldn't we have a love like Christ? A love that loved unconditionally? When we do that, guess what? People no longer will see legalism. They'll no longer see hypocrisy. We don't have to be perfect. The church, you as a Christian, you don't have to be perfect. All you got to do is be striving for perfection and be what? Transparent. What a great place to be if everybody will came in the church. One of my hearts as a pastor is for people, no matter what station and place you are in your life, you will come into the church and say, you know what? I'm welcome. That nobody looks on me less than. To know I'm in process and that God loves me like I am, but he loves me too much to leave me that way. Amen. Can I pray with you today? Dear God, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us like we are, but loving us too much to leave it that way. I pray, Lord God, that we'll demonstrate your love, the kind of love, Lord God, that you're calling us to. Not a love, Lord God, that we won't demonstrate legalism and hypocrisy, and that we won't be marred in false teaching that puts up all these lists and things for people to follow. God, that we will delve into your word and teach the truth of the gospel of your word. And when we teach that truth, yes, Lord God, when we experience your love, it'll lead us to want to obey you more. I pray, Heavenly Father, now for those who've been hurt by the church. First of all, as a pastor and a leader, I apologize. Lord, help us to forgive us for when we have been a poor example of who you are. I pray, Lord God, that we won't be buried in legalism and hypocrisy, but Lord, that we will have pure hearts and walk in transparency before you, to know that we're all broken people that have been saved by grace. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Listen, if you've been watching today and you've never come to know this grace, this undeserved favor, right where you are, you may have been hurt by the church. You may have been hurt by the church. I'm here to tell you, listen, I apologize first, but I want to let you know God loves you. And I don't want to let anything that I've done as a pastor, anything that a person has done to keep you from his unconditional love. And I want to let you know he loves you right where you are, no matter what you done. God made you to love you. He wants a relationship with you, but that relationship was broken by our sin. We're imperfect. All of us have sinned, the Bible said, and fallen short of his glory. And he also says that the wage of sin is death, eternal separation from him. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He wants to give you eternal life, but he also wants to give you abundant life on earth. He wants you to be able to live in a life of transparency and sincere faith in him. But it starts with you first admitting to God that, you know what, I'm not perfect. Yep, I'm a sinner. I've broken your law. If you want to make that decision today, I want you to repeat after me. Say, dear God, I admit that I've sinned against you. I believe you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me and that he was buried and he rose again. Today I make the choice to invite you into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made that decision today, congratulations and welcome to the family. Now you can know, like the Winers used to have this song, it's good to know he'll be there whenever you fall, but it's better to know that you don't have to fall at all. You know what? We fall down, but we get up. You may make some mistakes, but guess what? He wants you to just be transparent before him. He loves you like you are. Now he wants you to grow in him. He wants you now to live for him and give him glory with our lives. So we want to give you some tools so that you can grow. So I want you to do this. Take your phone. If you pray that prayer after me, take your phone and text the word next, N-E-X-T, to 301-804-2520. That's next, N-E-X-T, and text it to this number, 301-804-2520, and we're going to get you some information, some tools to help you grow. If not, if you can't text it, just go to our website, encounterchurch.net/next, and check I Trusted Christ Today. Listen, I'm so excited for you. I cannot wait to see what God is going to do in your life as you grow in him, as you grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and as you experience his love, as his love gets shed abroad in your heart, as you experience his love, now we can spread it to other people. God bless you guys. I'm so excited for you. I thank you for joining us today. Look forward to seeing you guys next week.